Hey, it's Brendan Ginetti, host of the Music You're Missing podcast, coming to you live from the Big Night Media Studios in downtown Boston. If you're an aspiring podcaster and you're interested in booking some studio space in the Big Night Media Studios, head to bignightmedia.com. You're listening to Music You're Missing. My name is Brendan Ginetti, and today we're speaking with Stephen Day. Stephen Day is doing a three-peat here on the Music You're Missing podcast, and I couldn't be happier because I am not lying when I tell you he is one of my all-time favorite artists. If you follow me outside of my Music You're Missing endeavors, you know that whenever I do any kind of press and they ask me my favorite episode or who I've been listening to, I will always say Stephen Day. Unique is such an overused word, but I cannot stress enough that since 2016, Stephen Day has been releasing unique, beautifully crafted, well-written music. With influences from Glen Campbell and John Mayer, his sound is so classic, but he really also brings like a special modern flair. Stephen Day just wrapped a US tour with the viral and beloved Stephen Sanchez, spanning over 2 months and hitting more than 30 cities. He has recently released three new singles, Kinda Cowgirl, 4321, and Goldmine, which I feel could be alluding to some new music ahead. I'm so excited to catch up with Stephen Day and talk new music, his tour with Stephen Sanchez, and pretty much just fanboy about how much I love everything he does. But before I get him on the line, you've listened to podcasts before, you know the drill. My name is Brendan, and welcome to Music You're Missing. I've been working in music for quite a few years now, and throughout my career, I've always resonated more with artists who I felt like deserved more attention and weren't necessarily getting it. So I created Music You're Missing to shed some light on artists that I feel like deserve to have their music heard. Every artist that gets featured on the show has their music added to the official Music You're Missing Spotify playlist. And if you head there right now, you can see Stephen Day's face on the cover. While you're checking things out, I know it's super corny to ask, but if you wouldn't mind rating the Music You're Missing podcast 5 stars wherever you're listening, it actually helps us out tremendously. We have a higher likelihood of getting our episodes playlisted, which in turn means more exposure for the amazing artists that we have on this show. To keep up to date with Music You're Missing and all of our happenings, including giveaways, concerts, events, and new episodes, you can follow Music You're Missing on Instagram and TikTok at Music You're Missing. I promise that's all for me. I'm so excited to welcome Stephen Day on the Music You're Missing podcast. Dude, it's such a pleasure seeing you again.
I know, man. We're like old friends at this point.
Yeah, you're doing a three-peat. You're like the first artist we've ever had on three times.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we got to get you a plaque. We'll probably hang it in studio or something.
Yeah, man. Dang, what an honor.
I'm literally so excited to see your face.
Same.
Like, not to be so forward. Anytime like I do any type of interviews or anything and they're like, oh, it's your favorite episode, or like, who's your favorite artist that you've ever had on, like, without doubt, without fail, I'm gonna say Stephen Day.
Come on, dude.
No cap. Anyways, hey, it's February 1st. Happy February. How are your New Year's resolutions doing?
They're doing good, man. It's actually a sunny day here in Nashville. It's been kind of cloudy, so it's beautiful here. I'm trying to think. My resolutions, I mean, to be honest, man, I didn't make that many this year. I'm spending a lot of the top of this year in Nashville, which is really nice, which means I'm like doing a lot of writing for other people and producing in like a way that's just trying to like learn about production. So it feels a little bit like the focus is, because I'm releasing my music, it's a little, the focus is off the writing for me right now, which is cool. So like some of that, I guess, is a resolution of just like, I've fallen in love with so many aspects of music. And so I get to do lots of different things when I'm in Nashville. So that's been a part of that.
Producing. Do you have songs that are self-produced out?
I do. Well, so I only have one batch of songs that's fully self-produced. And that was the original Songs and Sound that came out like during the pandemic.
Yeah.
But most of the stuff, like everything else that I've recorded, I'm like co-producer on. But I've sort of like kept falling in love with production as I've made more of my own records. And I'm looking forward to the possibility of producing other people at some point.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Would it be in a similar vein to like the sounds that you create, or are you trying to expand?
I don't know yet. That's kind of what's exciting is like, I feel like I just get excited about songs and the way they come together. And so it's like, I'll be curious to see if the production thing comes to fruition, like what, if it's like a lot of different styles or if it's like truly like very similar to what I do. I could see it going both ways. Obviously, I feel like naturally it'd be easier to produce people if they wanted it to sound like something that I've done before. But probably more exciting for me to like push myself in like other ways.
Yeah, that would be dope to hear. Like, would you do like electronic stuff?
I don't know. Yeah, I think I'm truly just trying to be open-handed with it because it's like, I don't know. I'm hoping this year something comes along where I'm like, all right, this is going to be the first thing that like first thing I produce for somebody else, whether it's just a single or like a whole record they want to do. I don't know. I'm just kind of like, I've never, for some reason in the past year or two, it's like, I've gotten more excited about that idea. Yeah. I think because I've also like, as I've kept making my own records, I've realized how much I love the craft of writing too. And so it's like those just go hand in hand. And so I've just become more excited about, well, when I'm done with my record, like I could produce somebody else or write somebody else with them, you know?
Do you ever have something come out and you're like, ooh, actually I'm going to save that for me.
Like writing wise?
Yeah.
That's interesting. To be honest, I haven't had that happen yet. And most of the time it's because I'm going into like a co-write or like a collaborative thing. And it's like for that person, like it's the setup is different. So like my brain is like, how can I serve this person rather than like getting everything I want? Does that make sense? It's kind of like, I'm still putting my taste forward. But like a lot of times it ends up being something that isn't for me just based on like that artist making decisions and choices.
Yeah.
And I'm just sort of like a sounding board almost.
I mean, I guess that's your job as part of being a co-writer is to not steal things for yourself.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So I would say resolution wise, it's just like a continued, at least in like the career realm, like developing in other ways than just my artist thing.
Sweet. Well, I'm glad we're still kicking. I was in yoga yesterday actually, and the guy was like, do you know what February 10th is? And everyone's like holding a plank and we're like, no. And it is February 10th, apparently, allegedly. Most people have given up on their New Year's resolutions. So you got nine more days to beat everyone else.
Maybe that's why I didn't make like a gym resolution this year. I was like, I've already given up.
Yeah, no, that the gym resolutions never work for me. I'm definitely better at hitting gym, but when I like force myself to like do it as part of resolution, it's not happening.
Yeah.
So you're back in Nashville. Obviously, you just wrapped up a tour. Want to talk about that? But before that, like, what does this downtime look like for you besides writing? Are you able to like enjoy normalcy? Because you've been touring pretty consistently for years.
Yeah, man, it's actually really nice. Sorry, my dog Bubba's just kind of like roaming around.
Bubba.
But yeah, I've actually been. I didn't really think about it until, you know, I slowed down at the top of this year, but like the past 2 years have been like almost extensively like opening for other artists, which has been amazing. Like, I've opened for some amazing artists like Teddy Swims, Ben Rector, Steven Sanchez. And it's like really been such a cool time to like be out on the road and playing shows, being in front of people. And, but yeah, I like, it's really nice to be home and like be, like in Nashville and be with Abby and be, it's sort of just like a moment to be like, okay, like I've been on the road. What's next? Like, how are we moving this ship forward kind of thing? I might sound like I said shit. How are we moving this shit forward? But yeah, it's just like, I think it's a moment. It's a little bit of a breather in some ways.
Yeah.
I'm still like, as I said, it's a moment to like, be thinking about other parts of what I do, which is really cool too. Cause it's like, I think the more I focus on that, the more I can be doing those things when I'm in Nashville. And so like when I'm out on the road, I'm doing that. When I come back, I'm writing for me, writing for other people, or like working on people's records. Yeah, it just feels like a new chapter.
Mm. That's exciting to hear. How
have
you noticed like Nashville's changed, or how would you say it's like evolved over the years you've been there?
Well, I feel like probably with most cities, like the pandemic put a weird halt on like what I was imagining it was becoming.
Yeah.
But like I think it's still becoming like even more of a music city, like more, like just more like different kinds of music. Like it's always been like the roots are country, which is cool.
Yeah.
And I love country music. And I think a lot of people here do love country music, but it's like at this point, there's lots of different things happening. And I think more and more, I hope that it becomes like a whole music city that like contains lots of different things. I would love for Nashville to be on the map for so many different things other than just country. Because I think people and tourists will always travel here for like the Country Music Hall of Fame and stuff like that. And to be around that, the roots of country music. But I also think that people will continue to come here for all kinds of things, which is awesome. And I feel the city like wants that.
Yeah. So yeah. I actually saw that you played the Ryman recently on tour. Had you played there before? Is that your first time?
So I opened for Ben Rector there as well.
Okay.
But it was like an acoustic vibe. So this time with Steven Sanchez, it was like I got to play with a band. It felt like it felt a little more full, which like I feel like the way I had dreamed playing the Ryman would feel, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So that was really cool. And it's just, I mean, it's truly iconic. Like you can't, like when you're in there, you can't deny the history of it. And it's like you're kind of walking around and you're like, dang, like I can't believe I'm doing this.
That's so sick. Do you have?
Yeah.
You haven't played Red Rocks, have you?
No. I would love to.
That's on the bucket list for you.
Thank you, bro.
Do you have like certain venues you want to hit?
I think it's kind of funny. People ask that, and I think there's some block in my brain that doesn't let me do that because it's like. Maybe I'm scared I won't ever play it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that kind of thing. Red Rocks is obviously like one of those. If I like were to actually think about it, I'm trying to think if there's like the Ryman was one. But yeah, I think I'm scared to think that way.
Honestly, I really respect that. I feel like I would have a similar mindset because then you're kind of like admitting that one, you think you're like cool enough to play that venue, and two, you're like putting it out there. And then it's like, what if you don't?
Yeah, exactly. I think I'm just scared to put it out there because I'm like, but who knows? Maybe it'd be great to put it out there and like use it as a goal, but like it's just too scary to think about. It's like I'd have to sell that many tickets.
Yeah, yeah, that too. then you're running into like the financial burden of it. You just wrapped tour with Steven Sanchez. I saw that you were like partnered with him as an opening slot, and I just thought it was such like a perfect fit. And I know you had written with him in the past. How did like the opportunity even come to be?
Yeah, so first off, he is just an incredible artist. After touring with him, that show is unbelievable. Like if people didn't get out to see that tour, they better go to the next one. He's just like, it's so crazy. Like he's just shooting off like a rocket. I can't believe it.
And he's young.
It's really cool.
I didn't realize he was only 21.
Yeah, he's so young, man. It's really cool, and the music's really great. He's really awesome, and yeah, I was really happy to be a part of that tour. The shows were so fun. The like crowds were pumped. His fans were amazing. Like great energy. But yeah, so I played in Nashville. I guess it would have been 2021, or it was like right after the pandemic sort of like started to. It was like right when people were able to tour again.
Yeah,
and I think it was the fall of 2021, but he came to my show in Nashville, and this was before his song was taking off, I think. And he like stayed and said hey after the show, and I didn't know who he was. And he was like, man, like I love your music, like great show, like just really quick, brief meeting, like just introducing ourselves. And then like, you know, a few weeks later, I think his song started taking off. Yeah. And I hadn't put it together yet that was the guy I met at the show. And from then on, like after a while, he was like, I think he was starting to work on the record, and he was like, hey, like I'd love for you to be a part of writing this record, like, you know, let me know if you have some time to do that. And I was like, yes, of course. Like, let's do that. And so, yeah, it was pretty awesome. He kind of just invited me into that process for, you know, it ended up being 2 songs on the record, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like such a compliment too. Cause like clearly he was a fan before he had success, and then he like kept his word and invited you to be part of his like, I mean, breakout stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was, man, I was honored. Still am. I mean, yeah, he's amazing.
I was kind of curious because he had a lot of his breakout through social media and TikTok, and his fans like quickly latched on as like stans. I was wondering, was the experience for you connecting with them a bit different? Because I imagine they kind of have like their own lingo and are very social media forward. What was it like connecting with his fans?
Man, to be honest, they're like really pumped for the shows, which is like, you can't ask for anything more on a tour. Like they were so excited about the show, and I'm just a small part of the night. Like to be an opener and like go out and have a crowd that's like really interested in what's going on can be rare. You know, it's like,
yeah,
his fans were really excited to listen and like really pumped to just be a part of that culture. Which was cool to see. Like he has, I think with his charisma and like his artistry, just like drawn a certain type of fan that is just pumped for whatever he does. And it translated to being an opener too. I was just kind of like, well, I get to like participate in this. And it was really cool. I mean, they were super nice. Yeah, it was amazing.
I could see the comments. People would be like, what's that song that you played? Is that out yet? Like the Mine song? Like that's awesome. That's clearly they resonated with it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they truly like were just wanted to be there and wanted to listen.
This is our third time chatting, as I mentioned. And genuinely it's been really cool to see how much you've grown at each step of the way. Went back to my old notes from last time we spoke. Your Instagram followers and your monthly listeners have both doubled. You've been on 4 different tours, and you've even had some international gigs. So I'm just kind of curious, like, are you aware of your career growth? Like, does it feel different now from the last time we spoke?
I feel proud. Like I feel happy with where things are, but I feel like maybe I even said this last time I was on your show, but I've been doing it now for a long time. Yeah. And, every moment of my career has felt like such a slow burn. Which in some ways I really enjoy. But yeah, I mean, I would have not realized those numbers had you said them, you know, like yeah. It's really cool to hear that it's doubled since the last time I was on Music You're Missing, you know, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. I mean, it's a true, as like a genuine fan too, it is really cool to see other people like hop on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
Because you do have so much stuff out, but granted, like I said, like, you know, a lot of your following is coming more modern times. Are you pulling back the old stuff for the set list, or are you mostly focusing on the new stuff?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's actually more exciting than I thought it'd be to pull from all of the different records.
Yeah.
Like, I think especially when, like, headline shows, the last time I headlined, it was pretty exciting to hear people sing songs from all different records. And so, yeah, like the more music I put out, the harder it is to make the set list. Yeah. And it's pretty fun. Like, I feel like at this point where I'm at now is just how do I make, I think, is the most fun set list for the crowd, you know, which I mean, that's the goal of many artists, but for a long time, it was like, I've got to have enough songs for the set list. You know, it's like you write, you know, you have an EP out, you have your first record out, and it's like, not really enough songs for like a powerhouse set list.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm entering a time where I'm having a blast with the set list that I'm playing. So that's been cool. And it's been really fun to see people like certain songs from different eras, sort of.
Stephen Day Eras Tour. that is like a really cool, because I mean, it's not often that, you know, people have such a large catalog. Because I mean, I called Stephen Sanchez young, but like you're also young too. So it's great that you have such a catalog.
Getting older every day, man.
Aren't we all? I'm 27 now. Are you 27?
Yeah, yeah.
At 27 was the age where I'm like, oh, I'm a man now. I'm like an adult.
I feel that, man.
Yeah.
I feel that.
And like when I'm in public, like I'm like, people know that I'm a man. they're like, this guy, you know, they're never like, oh, this kid. Yeah. I'm officially that guy on the train. Like, I'm not a kid.
Right. Yeah. I feel that in a major way.
Yeah, it's messed up. Hey, another accomplishment since we last spoke. You had On Top of the World in the movie Strays.
Yeah, dude, that's so funny.
Was that your first sync?
That was my first major sync, yeah. It was pretty unbelievable. Wild movie. Like, I don't know if you saw it. But
I did,
like,
I did.
Just the most vulgar, like, dog comedy. And then just like my song plays in like the sweetest part of the movie.
That's good. At least it was like in that part of the movie, because like that's its own little piece of the film.
Yeah, I you know, when you hear, like when I heard about the sync and it was how it was going to happen, or like it was happening, the movie's not out. I had heard that was going to happen. I was like, my first thought, and I bet a lot of people feel this way if this happens to them, but my first thought was like, oh God, in this movie, people are going to be like, they're going to be like at a party or something, and they like hear the song on in the house, and they're like, turn this shit off kind of thing. It's like, I like visualize the worst thing happening on screen, and like I'm watching the movie for the first time, hearing my song in it, and the people in the movie are making fun of the song. But I'm glad it didn't turn out that way. So, yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, no, that was just our anxiety talking. Obviously, right. that was sick. I saw it. Mostly, I knew about that movie through you. Honestly, it was like, oh, I've got to check this out. And then I was like, oh, damn! Like Will Ferrell's in this and Jamie Foxx. Like, that was a major release. Did you find that like your streams increased after it was featured in the film?
I think it did a little bit. I think I realized that, you know, like I started getting getting comments, or like my manager would show me some comments on YouTube where it was like, people would be like, who's here because of Strays kind of thing. So it was like, I don't know if it had a massive increase, but I do think people did discover it from that.
Sweet. I mean, so you're getting synced. You're just on a really large tour. Like I said, you have quite the catalog. All of that, though, you're still independent, which I have to imagine at this point is kind of by choice. Like, I'm sure you had some opportunities come your way. Why are we remaining independent? And like, what do you think your team does really well that helps you have a full-time career as an independent artist?
That's a great question, man. I think at this point in doing this, I'm more open to people helping out than I've ever been in a way of like my team growing. I don't know what that would look like, or, you know, if that's a label or if that's just other people that want to join the team that we've already started to build. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that would look like. But when I first started out, I was very like anti-label, I just kind of wanted to figure it out on my own and wanted to make sure that I like maintained any bit of control I could have.
Yeah.
And I've been with my manager for a long time now, and she's amazing. And we just kind of keep growing a team. And so it's almost like I'm at this point where it's like, do we just keep building the team we've got? Or if something, you know, it's hard to know. It's just kind of like at this point, we've been doing it this way for so long that it just kind of feels right.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. That's a great question.
The world's your oyster. I mean, your manager though, like she when you like joined forces, you were like one of her first clients, right?
Yeah.
So that's, you guys have been able to like grow together. That's awesome.
Totally. Yeah. It's been amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely like, especially now, like working with artists and like developing artists beyond Music You're Missing, it's so nice when artists can actually kind of figure it out for themselves first before hopping into anything. There's this like one artist I'm working with, and he had something like really go viral, like super, super fucking viral. And so many labels like want to sign him. And I'm like, honestly, dude, like I think like, you don't even have music on streaming. Like I think you need to like experience what it even is to be an artist before you sell your soul and your voice.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's another thing is like, I've never experienced the viral thing at all. Like, well, I guess that's not totally true. When I first put out my first EP, it was like when Spotify was new.
Yeah.
And I had like one of those songs on the EP was like viral for a second. But like, I feel like that was before the way things are happening now.
Yeah.
And so as I said before, it just feels sort of like we're putting our heads down and like, In a little bit of a traditional sense, just like touring the music and trying to have somewhat of like a grassroots thing. But yeah, I mean, it seems like people like virality is, it's so important these days. And so that can be like, it's hard to weigh that in thinking about the future, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it is, but then like you said, there are artists like yourself who you have a sustainable career, and like you said, you haven't had, you know, your traditional like TikTok in the car song of the summer viral moment yet. I mean, that's also like growing up, like my favorite bands and artists were the ones who I learned about through like their music only and like seeing live. I never connected with them through social media, and sometimes I don't even want to know the artist behind the song. I just like their music. So
right
it's exciting stuff to hear. You're in a new music era, which is really awesome. And I'd love to talk about some of the new music. The first track, kind of Cowgirl. You said you have never been more excited to release a song. Why was this one so special for you?
Man, I feel like when I wrote that song with the guy who basically a producer that I love in Nashville and a writer that I love in Nashville. His name's Micah Talks. We wrote it together. It was sort of like this aha, like, moment for me where I was like, this is like a mixture of genres and songwriting that like felt really me. It felt like a mixture of like all the things I love about music. And it felt like, I don't know, I just got really excited about the idea of like presenting my tastes and what I love about music in that way. Like a lot of the music I wrote and some of the singles that are out right now, like your tastes change as you keep doing it. And like this kind of cowgirl was like the start of like, oh, this is the kind of music I want to make right now. And so it just became this, I don't know, there's something about that song that I think is like a lot of songs that I love. Like when you first listen to that song, it's like, it's just like, it's just a vibe and it's like, it's like a feeling.
Yeah.
But there's something, I think when we wrote it, there was like some sort of like melancholy with the melody and stuff that just felt so, like right to me. Like it's just, it's, I don't like to harp too much on like why I love
harp
that
away.
Song, but it's just, there's something about it, man. And to be honest, there's also some level of that song for me that I'm kind of like, it just came out, like it just happened. And we made it so fast. And
really?
Yeah, like it was one of those songs that just kind of like fell out onto the paper kind of thing. And I just love it. Yeah.
It honestly, like the response that I got when I listened to it, it really reminded me of like the first time I heard like Golden Hour by Casey Musgraves, like that whole project where it was like melancholic, but then the lyrics are really, it's like a love song at the end of the day. So not only do you feel melancholic, but you also get like the kind of lovey and it's just a whole good, a lot of emotions and they're all good.
That's amazing, man. It's amazing.
Music video ever?
Yeah, I would love to do some music videos. I think we're like trying to roll out some music and then like it feels like, I don't even know. I've never been a huge music video person, which I know is kind of lame.
It is. You're right.
But I feel like the music that I'm making, I've actually had a good amount of people be like, where are the music videos? So I think this cycle will definitely be some of that. I think it might be like a sort of like we release the music and then sort of like come back to it again with the music video. Yeah. I don't know if it'll be like alongside any sort of releases or anything.
Well, that could be a good strategy in its own right, because then it's like you kind of get like two little release moments. So sweet.
Yeah.
This new music, you got three new singles out. Is this indicative of a new project ahead?
You know, I can't say explicitly, but wink, wink. Yeah. Yeah. It's like alongside talking about Kind of Cowgirl. It was like when I wrote Kind of Cowgirl was the moment where I was like, there's a record here.
Sweet.
It was sort of like a North Star moment, which I, in the past I've made records and like in the past I've written songs and been like, okay, like let's put these together. And this time it was like, whoa, here's this song that I feel like holds a map to like a world.
Yeah.
And it was like, I better make this world because this song can't live alone kind of thing. And so it was sort of like a really exciting way to make a record, because I don't know if that how it goes for other artists usually, but that had never happened to me before, and it was really exciting because it was like it felt like kind of making or like puzzle or something.
Yeah. So the like in Goldmine, I feel like the tracks that you have released kind of have a different vibe to them. Obviously, like, still very you, but like more kind of funky. Like, is that, or could the fans expect some more of that?
Yeah, it's like, I think to me, kind of Cowgirl as a North Star sort of represents the other music that I've made for this cycle. That's like, it's sort of like this ebb and flow between that funky sort of like melancholy country.
Yeah.
Cocktail. Yeah.
All right. Well, there may or may not be a new project on the horizon. What about maybe a potential running it back on a headline tour ever?
I think if there's going to be a record, there better be a tour. I would be upset put out a cool record that I thought was amazing and then they didn't tour it. I mean,
yeah.
So I would hate to do that to people.
All right. Just if you could have your manager actually like send me the dates before so I can make sure it works with my calendar, that'd be great before you book it. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So I actually have 3 shows coming up this spring, and one's in New York, one's in LA, and one's in Nashville.
Oh, sweet.
April 18th, Los Angeles at the Troubadour. April 29th, New York, Gramercy Theater, I think is how you say it. And then Nashville, May 2nd, Brooklyn Bowl.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I'm stoked. Those will be some fun shows.
I will genuinely be there. I actually have a bunch of friends who work at Brooklyn Bowl, so that maybe I'll make that my time I visit them.
Please do. I'd love to see you.
I do wrap up every question or every interview with this question, rather. Besides music, besides your career, what are some personal goals you have that you hope to accomplish in the near future?
Oh God, that's so tough. I love music so much. Especially in Nashville, it's like winter right now, so I cannot wait to like be outside more. But like, I used to be really into running, and now it's just like, I enjoy walking. Just like, I just want to walk so much this year.
All right.
Like, just get out there, be outdoors. I've never really been like a hiking person either, but like, who knows? Maybe that's in the cards.
Yeah, man. Hey, that's a good metaphor for just like life, man. You don't need to run through it. Just kind of walk.
There you go.
Smell the roses.
I like that. Slow it down. Yeah, maybe that's what I'll say. Just slow it down a little bit.
There you go. That was a good one. That most people give me, they always relate it back to like music somehow, and I'm like, it defeats the purpose of the question. But that was a good one. I like that. Walk a little bit more.
Yeah, maybe it's like step away from the music and just not put as much pressure on it.